This football season has been different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi is a refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Eagles fans? Welcome into the Locked On Eagles podcast, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles. Almost forgot what team I was covering. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase joining you on episode 4 this week of 5, downloaded into your phone when you subscribe to the Locked On Eagles podcast on any podcast platform or on LockedOnEagles.com. Follow me on Twitter as well. Always talking birds after the show at DiBiase LOE. If you missed, we did Crossover Thursday yesterday. Gino Camilleri sat down with Marcus Mosher of Locked On Cowboys to get the X's and O's, the matchup, the preview podcast for this Sunday night battle between the Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys. It's Dallas Week, and the city of Philadelphia always gets up for Dallas Week, even though it's not, you know, this time it's not Tony Romo or Dak Prescott. This feels more like the Kyle Orton game in 2013. You're playing Ben DiNucci on Sunday night, but let's make sure it's not a Joe Webb-like situation where you let this new first-time starting quarterback gash you both through the air and on the ground. But regardless of, you know, it not being still the matchup where these two teams are of the best in the league and it's, you know, do or die, it's still always a big game. And the Eagles, if they win this one, they can maintain their first place position in the NFC East. So we're going to get into Ben DiNucci later on in the show. But there's a lot to get into today. I want to talk about Howie Roseman and Doug Peterson kind of being dumb and dumber this week when it comes to benching Jordan Mailata for Jason Peters, when it comes to placing safety Will Parks on the trade block. And I also want to get into the comparisons that we're going to make pretty much throughout the majority of their careers because of the 2020 draft, right? The Eagles decided not to trade up for CeeDee Lamb. In the first round this year, they took Jalen Reagor, and both of these guys are in the NFC East, and they're going to see each other two times a year. And so Lamb looks really good this year. Rager's coming back from injury. He's making his debut on Sunday for the first time since week 2, as he had that thumb injury. So I want to get into those two as well. That's all coming up on today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. But first, let's get into Howie Roseman. Let's get into Doug Peterson, a.k.a. Dumb and Dumber this week. Doug Peterson decided to start Jason Peters at left tackle, coming back from injury, and he's putting Jordan Mailata on the bench. The only way I would have been cool with Peters over Mailata at left tackle is if Lane Johnson was going to miss this game and you needed Mailata to play right tackle, right? That's understandable, but Lane Johnson is going to play on Sunday night. So the fact that you're putting Peters in over Mailata is just extremely frustrating. And to me, the reasoning behind it, I think it feels like they're trying to do this to justify paying JP more money before the season started to have him play left tackle. They've done that before in the past. Why do you think Greg Ward took so long to get to the 53-man roster? Because Howie Roseman was trying to justify his 5th-round draft selection of Mac Hollins, his 6th-round draft selection of Shelton Gibson. And that's what it kind of feels like they're doing again right here, justifying paying Jason Peters more by keeping him at left tackle over Mailata. Maybe, too, they're just flat-out scared to tell JP he's benched. I mean, he's a scary dude. But that's, to me, what it sounds like they're trying to do, because I don't get the rationale behind it other than that. I mean, JP wasn't good. And look, I'm going to be honest. You guys know, listening to this podcast, I wanted the Eagles to pay Peters more to play left tackle, because I thought you can't head into the season after Andre Diller got hurt with complete unknowns covering Carson Wentz's blindside. Didn't know what Jordan Mailata could do. Jack Driscoll was a rookie. I mean, you had Prince Tagovailoa still on the roster. You had so much instability there that, to me, JP played at a pretty high level in 2019 at the position. You should pay him more and not risk Carson Wentz getting hurt. But now when you see the significant step back Peters has taken this year, and you see the good tape that Mailata has put on the last month of the season, I mean, he's been really good. Last week, he definitely struggled more than he has throughout the other three starts this year, but he still has held his own week after week, and he's done pretty well against some damn good pass rushers, and he's so much more athletic, and you know, it builds for the future. You know Peters is going to be gone next year, whereas Mailata could be your left tackle of the future. You have no idea still heading into year three next year what you have in Andre Dillard. Mailata is a giant 6'7", 330-plus pound dude that's extremely athletic. He could be your next Jason Peters. So you got to continue to put him on the field and let him develop. He's only, what, 23 years old? Playing Peters to me doesn't make any sense, especially because Mailata has been good. If Mailata was struggling, then okay, it's understandable to put in the guy that at least has a track record of being a damn good left tackle and hope that, you know, Peters can rebound better than Mailata. But Mailata has put on really good tape. And the one thing I don't accept is Peterson's reasoning during the press conference today, where he compared this decision to his decision to bench Nelson Agholor back in 2016 after that Seahawks game, where he's saying sometimes it's good for a young player who was on the field to now take a step back and watch from the sidelines. My issue with that reasoning is, number one, Jordan Mailata has been sitting for years now. I'm not sure what more he's going to learn by being on the bench. I'm one of those guys, and it's why I hate when you bench rookie quarterbacks that you drafted in the first round. It's why I couldn't stand the Eagles' initial game plan in 2016 to go with Sam Bradford over Carson Wentz, because to me, you learn so much more by being on the football field. And so that's number one. And number two, Mailata has already been sitting, so he has that perspective pretty down pat. Now, you got to keep him on the football field. He's brand new to the sport, and he's building, and each week he's getting better. And he's such a raw, physically gifted guy that you need to continue to see if he can be your left tackle of the future. Right now, again, Peters is not going to answer you any questions. Heading into 2021, you have no idea what you have in Dillard. And although Mailata has been good for four games, that's not a big enough sample size to have answers next year. What if Mailata, for the rest of the season, is bad? Then you know next year, okay, look, we're probably going to have to draft a lineman in the first two rounds or go out and sign a big-name free agent. Whereas playing Peters does nothing for you long-term. Actually, what it does more so is create more question marks. And this is the one issue I have with being alive in the postseason. This is the one problem, you know, me and Gino talked about on the podcast a couple episodes ago. Do we want to make the playoffs? And the answer is yes, as long as you have Carson Wentz. You want to be in it every year. You have talented players on this roster that have won championships. You have proven coaches that have won championships. You want to dance in January every year. But at risk of losing your long-term perspective? No, that's the one thing, is me and Gino want to make the playoffs because we don't think it's going to stop this organization from making the necessary moves long-term they need to get back to being a championship contender, because right now they're not a championship contender. They're a playoff contender based on their quarterback and their division, but they are certainly not a championship contender. This kind of move is where making the playoffs kind of hurts you, because this is all short-term perspective with Peters over Mailata. They want to rely on veterans at times to get into the postseason rather than, you know, maintain that long-term objectivity by having Mailata in the football game, which is crazy because I even think short-term Mailata still gives you a better chance right now than JP. But that's the one issue that being in contention still here at 2-4-1 does create, is that now if you stick with Peters for the rest of the year, was four games enough next year to know that Mailata is your starting left tackle? I don't think so. And you already have complete unknown answers when it comes to Andre Dillard, that you gotta keep playing Mailata and see if he's the answer. It's just a frustrating situation that Doug Peterson has created, and you know, making the playoffs right now and wanting to make the postseason kind of has created. Howie Roseman's being dumb too. Yesterday there was the report that Will Parks, the Eagles safety, they signed in March for a one-year deal worth a little less than $2 million. He's on the trade block now. The NFL trade deadline is on Tuesday. This also doesn't make any sense to me. Parks doesn't make any money only on a one-year contract. You're not going to get anything for him. And your other options suck. I mean, Jalen Mills has been bad. Marcus Epps is terrible. Jim Schwartz refuses to play Kayvon Wallace when he's healthy. I don't get this. Will Parks, I think, has been pretty solid. I know he got burned by Evan Ingram on that bad drop on Thursday night, which kind of saved his ass on that play. But overall, I think Parks has been really good against the run. He's lined up across the formation. He's wearing a bunch of different hats in this defense. And you need that kind of guy right now because the other options, the alternatives, just are not good enough. But I guess this is what happens when you're a player that threatens Jim Schwartz's stable of boys, right? Mills, Epps, Maddox, and Nate Geary. If you're a player that threatens one of those guys, their playing time, Rasul Douglas, Sidney Jones, Will Parks, you're going to get cut or you're going to be on the trade block. That's the only way I can justify it, is that Jim Schwartz is just in love with his boys, regardless of how bad they are. He's going to die on the hill of Jalen Mills, Marcus Epps, Nate Geary, and Avante Maddox, and it's probably going to cost him his job at some point, but that's the only reason I can justify this move to trade Will Parks, is that they want to keep five, six safeties, Rudy Ford's coming back from injury, and they like Marcus Epps and Jalen Mills over Will Parks, which just makes little to no sense to me. So, Doug Peterson, dumb. Howie Roseman, dumber this week. This has been the Locked On Eagles podcast, segment one of this Friday edition of the show. Coming up next, we're going to get into Jalen Reagor and CeeDee Lamb. For my sanity, for the city of Philadelphia's sanity, the Eagles need Jalen Reagor to outperform CeeDee Lamb, not just this week, but pretty much for the majority of his career. Louis DiBiase, this is the Locked On Eagles podcast, and it's sponsored today by Pepsi. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season has been different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day. No matter how you watch, Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com today to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into this Friday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. We got into how I think long-term, this Jason Peters over Jordan Mailata decision is going to hurt the Eagles. It's going to create more question marks you already have at left tackle for the future. You don't know what Andre Dillard is, and four games is not enough to know what Jordan Mailata is, but they're in the playoff contention right now. They're in the race, so the Eagles are going with JP, and I think Howie Roseman's making a mistake putting safety Will Parks on the trade block, so we got into that in segment one. Segment two here, I want to talk about Jalen Reagor. I want to talk about CeeDee Lamb. So last night, Thursday Night Football, the Carolina Panthers played the Atlanta Falcons. I'm watching the Panthers and their rookie of the month, safety Jeremy Chinn, just running across the field, sideline to sideline, wrecking havoc on the Falcons offense. Easily the best player, I think, already on the Panthers defense. Maybe not. I would say second behind another my guy of LOE, Brian Burns, up front. But Jeremy Chinn has been incredible. The Panthers' second-round pick. Safety that I wanted badly for the Eagles, and the Eagles reportedly were going to take if they did not select Jalen Hurts over him at 53rd overall. So yesterday I'm watching a guy that should be on the Eagles that they could desperately use right now to replace Malcolm Jenkins and Will Parks and Kayvon Wallace and Marcus Epps. I'm watching Jeremy Chinn, and I'm regretting the Jalen Hurts pick again over Chinn. I'm watching DK Metcalf the last 2 years, making me regret the Eagles taking J.J. Arcega-Whiteside over DK. I'm thinking about having Metcalf and Chinn over Arcega-Whiteside and Hurts, right? So I'm already feeling pretty bad about the Eagles' last two decisions they've made in the last 2 second rounds. Now I'm thinking about Sunday night. Jalen Reagor is coming back, and the Dallas Cowboys feature CeeDee Lamb, their first-round pick out of Oklahoma, the 17th overall selection. Somebody the Eagles wanted pretty badly, the fans wanted pretty badly, I think the media wanted to see the Eagles go get. And I'm thinking about how Reagor over Lamb, and not that the Eagles made a decision head-to-head, Reagor and Lamb are both available, and they chose Reagor over Lamb. But I cannot have, for my sanity, Reagor over trading up for Lamb be another disastrous mistake. CeeDee Lamb looks really, really good this year. He looks as advertised. He, to me, was my number one ranked receiver in the 2020 class. Look, Justin Jefferson's been incredible. I was wrong about him. Henry Ruggs looks good. Jerry Jeudy, T. Higgins. There's a lot of rookies that have looked really damn good this year, but CeeDee Lamb looks the part of that wide receiver one of the class. And Jalen Reagor, Not going to rule him dead in the water. Not going to call him a bust. He looked really good the first 2 weeks of the season, but he's coming off injury. And if he doesn't pan out and CeeDee Lamb does for the rival Dallas Cowboys, I can't have three of those moves on my conscience. Right where Chin instead of Hurts, you could have had Metcalf over Arcega Whiteside, you could have had, and instead it's the alternative. If Rager doesn't work out and Lamb becomes a star, that's going to be tough to swallow, man. Those are some disastrous decisions the past two drafts. Because, yes, again, the Eagles could not get CeeDee Lamb at 21st overall. He did not fall. However, there was a report that the Eagles could have traded up for Lamb when he was in that, when he was available in that 14 to 17 range. But they did not want to part with that 53rd overall pick, which was understandable if you took somebody like Jeremy Chinn, but that pick ended up being a backup quarterback in Jalen Hurts. And so that is tough to swallow. And because you know it would have been CeeDee Lamb. They liked CeeDee Lamb ahead of Henry Ruggs. They liked CeeDee Lamb better than Jerry Jeudy. So if Rager doesn't work out and CeeDee Lamb becomes a stud for a team that doesn't even need him, I think the Cowboys made that move purely out of spite, just like the Eagles did. Not that the Eagles only made the move in 2018 to draft to trade up for Dallas Goedert because the Cowboys wanted him. I think they wanted to have both Goedert and Ertz, and Goddard's a stud. That's going to be the Eagles' long-term tight end one. But being able to get him instead of the Cowboys certainly, I'm sure, was a motivating factor for Philadelphia. I think that's the same thing here for Dallas, taking Lamb four picks in front of the Eagles. And so I need Rager. And look, this week, I think Rager will outperform Lamb because Lamb is going to be catching balls from Ben DiNucci, who is a first-time starting quarterback, and Rager has Carson Wentz, and their chemistry was really growing throughout the summer, and you saw Wentz rely on Rager the first 2 weeks of the season. So I think Rager is going to make us feel really good about this move on Sunday. I think Rager is going to have an incredible career. I loved the pick at the time. I still do. I don't regret taking him over Justin Jefferson, but what I will say is I pray that my opinion of Rager stays the same and that he proves us correct, because if not, those are three moves the last two drafts that just keep us up at night. Jalen Hurts over Jeremy Chinn, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside over D.K. Metcalf. Please tell me that sitting put, and again, sitting put so you could take Jalen Hurts instead of trading up for CeeDee Lamb is never going to be the right move to me, but sitting put and keeping a first and a second and taking Jalen Rager there can be justified as the right decision still. And I hope that ends up being the case, because we can't deal with another one of those disastrous what-if draft scenarios on our consciousness. I mean, we've had too many already. Hopefully Rager, Travis Fulgham, they make us forget about that non-trade-up, the disastrous 53rd pick. Could have been a wide receiver there, too. You could have took Van Jefferson and the JJ over Metcalf move. Let's hope Rager and Fulgham are the top two receivers of the future now. And while those moves are regretful and they shouldn't have happened, hopefully it won't impact this team long term. Louis DiBiase joining you. This is the Friday edition of Locked On Eagles Dallas Week, and it's sponsored by Built Go, coming from our great friends over at Built Bar. Built Go is the solution to breaking through your wall. It's a healthy replacement for your energy drink, but the energy is not fake. It's lasting and natural. And whether that wall is mental or physical, break through it with Built Go. It's easy to take in 1.5-ounce packages. Your golf bag, you can put it in to power through the back nine, put it in your pocket to get through the day at work. For me, I work the overnight shift at radio stations in Buffalo. I work 10:30 p.m. to 5 o'clock a.m., so that's both a physical and mental wall. It's 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling, so get through your wall with Built Go. Three delicious flavors: peanut butter, honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. Visit BuiltGo.com today. Use the promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Built Go, let's go. All right, Eagles fans, we're wrapping up this Friday edition of Locked On Eagles. This is episode 4 of 5 this week. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast. We got one more dropping tomorrow. You got more time because the Eagles play on Sunday night against the Dallas Cowboys and Ben DiNucci. I kind of been asking myself this question this week. Is Ben DiNucci giving you Joe Webb vibes? Right, remember in 2010, the Eagles played on Tuesday because a blizzard in Philly canceled the Eagles' Sunday night game against Minnesota. Coming off the miracle in the New Meadowlands, the Eagles have an opportunity to clinch a bye week throughout the playoffs, home field advantage. And instead, Joe Webb comes in for Brett Favre, and he totally destroys the Eagles' defense. Right, a first-time starter that pretty much nobody had heard of gashes the Eagles, costs them a bye week. The Eagles then lose in the first round at home to the Green Bay Packers, who end up winning the Super Bowl that year. Just, man, still my favorite as an Eagles fan growing up, but damn it, if Joe Webb did not cost them a deep run, he really did. Or does Ben DiNucci give you vibes like Luke Falk of the New York Jets, or, you know, Nick Mullins a couple weeks ago with the San Francisco 49ers? I think DiNucci is set up for success on Sunday. He's going up against a defense that is soft, that gives up big plays on third down, does not have the best secondary outside of Darius Slay and Ronnie McLeod. Like, there's holes you can exploit in this defense. Nickell Robey-Coleman, Avante Maddox have been terrible. And DiNucci has weapons. He's got Amari Cooper. He's got CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup. That's probably the best trio of receivers in the NFL. So DiNucci is set up for success. He could produce against the Eagles. However, I do think this is more Luke Falk. I would say, you know, Nick Mullins more so than Joe Webb in 2010. I think the pass rush is going to get there, and I think DiNucci is going to have fits trying to stop Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, Derek Barnett, Josh Sweat. Jim Schwartz, I will say one thing. He has had success against young, you know, new starting quarterbacks in the NFL. So I've been asking myself that this week. Is this going to be a Joe Webb-like situation where this new young quarterback totally upsets the Eagles and their hope to maintain first place in the NFC East? Or is it a young quarterback they sack 13 times, what was it, 11, 13 times last year, like they did Luke Falk of the New York Jets, or just, you know, a couple weeks ago, pretty much stopping Nick Mullins from doing anything. Louis DiBiase joining you. This has been the Locked On Eagles podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. Again, be sure to subscribe to the podcast. 4 to 6 episodes a week downloaded into your phone. No Eagles podcast churns out more episodes than us. And we're always talking birds after the show. The grind don't stop. Follow me on Twitter at DiBiase LOE. As always, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. And let's go birds.